Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
The Colts had to sneak out of town at night. It degrades a great tradition of the city in football.
The legendary late newsman, John Stedman, who saw every Colts game home and away.
And I doubt if Robert Irsay realizes tonight the full impact or the extent of his sin in pulling away a football team that was a big part of the fiber of Baltimore.
One of the greatest fans of all time, Loudy.
We've got 27 years involved at Corrales with this ball club, so why should we stop? We'll be here when the new Colts come in.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call right here in 2013. Happy New Year, everybody. What an ending to the Ravens season, something I think we weren't expecting because the game, you know, it was a little strange. It was kind of like watching preseason in December. But anyway, Happy New Year. Welcome to The Call. Josh, of course, he's on the phone with me. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Hey, fans. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good. The Christmas lights are coming down today. The purple Raven lights are going outside. I'm ready for the postseason. I'm ready for the playoffs. I know you got to feel the same way.
I feel fired. I feel the same way. You know, Christmas season's over. We just celebrated New Year's, and New Year means new season. And we mean by that, it's postseason in Baltimore. Here it is, fifth straight time under the Harbaugh regime. I can't wait, man. It's going to be a fun time. And I'm just pumped in all general, the Paint the Town Purple this week, and I'm all fired. I can't even talk right now, so excited. All cylinders are fired up right now, man. I can't wait to get this game going on Sunday.
Same here. You know, the whole town's getting painted purple. The Ravens put out a picture earlier today of Poe and a couple of the cheerleaders going down to City Hall, and they spray painted a giant Raven head right on the field right there, right in front of City Hall. So I know that's going to be, you know, Raven heads popping up all over the place. But let's talk about the last game of the regular season in Cincinnati. It was a game that we talked about last week where we really didn't know how many of the starters we were going to see. And we saw a few starters, and then, you know, Joe Flacco sat down and Tyrod Taylor took over. Kind of weird to see Tyrod Taylor this late in December, but overall, do you think it was a good idea to have all these starters kind of take a light day this week?
You know, looking back on that, Brandon, I kind of was happy about that. I remember us talking last week about, you know, I think the starters might play a quarter or two and to get the offense on the field, and you talked about the defense being rested. Well, the whole team rested. I was actually shocked that there are several reports out there that Ray Rice wasn't going to suit up and play. Then next thing you know, here he was with Joe Flacco over there on the offensive side of football playing a couple of snaps, and it kind of shocked me that Ray Rice was out there, and obviously he had that foolish penalty, and you just don't want to see that kind of, you know, foolishness going around and someone getting hurt unnecessarily on a play like that. So kind of glad, you know, he did it out of good faith, and, you know, he thought the play was still going on. But besides the point, I was kind of excited to see the second and third stringers in there. Felt like, you're right, it felt like a late season preseason game. I mean, the crowd, I mean, it was a great crowd out there at our local away game spot, and it was a great crowd, and we rooted them hard, and it's Ravens football. I'm not going to downgrade the fact that they were playing second and third stringers. It's still Ravens football, and God bless it, I'm going to watch it. But it just didn't have that feel, because we knew it wasn't really that the hype, the playoff game. We knew that the independent what happened in the seeding, we would have probably most likely played the Colts, which we are, and we'll get to that. So really, you know, I was kind of happy that we rested. We needed that because we have so many people in injuries, and I'm overall very pleased with the decision Harbaugh and the coaches have made about resting starters.
Yeah, you know, there were a lot of guys that were out. Anquan Boldin, he didn't suit up. Tandon Doss also didn't suit up this past Sunday. Something that really scared me early off into the game was a hit on Vontae Leach, and he limped off the field and went to the back immediately, and we didn't see him for the rest of the day. But I think on the opening drive he was involved in, Vontae Leach went down, and I believe he tweeted after the game that he's okay and he'll be ready to go for Sunday. But at that moment, I was freaking out because he's my favorite pickup the Ravens have gotten in the last few years. He's a huge tool to Ray Rice. Ray Rice is a great player and can get a lot of yards. But Vontae Leach blocks for him. Those guys, I think, are one of the best teams, you know, one of the mini teams in the NFL right now. They work great together. So I was really scared about that. But I think after seeing that, I kind of agree with the fact that they rested these guys and let them have, you know, a lighter day or have the day off pretty much to get ready for this preseason game. Because, you know, a lot of people are we're happy to see Indy come to Baltimore because of that big rivalry we have with Indy. But this is a team that you can't take lightly. They have the number one draft pick as their quarterback. So I think resting the guys was the best idea.
Resting was the best idea, and just play off of that. Obviously, the Colts did not rest their starters, and we'll get to that in a minute. But as far as Cincinnati is concerned, they played. And coming overall in the game, I felt very confident and very pleased, and here's why. Because, speaking of the starters, Cincinnati played their starters up until halftime, which I thought the Ravens were going to do. Believe it or not, Andy Dalton was still out there throwing to A.J. Green, and we had second and third string defense in. You know, and just looking at that, we held them to almost 0 points in the first half. Granted, they got that late touchdown, and it's fine on Andy. But you have to feel good as a fan knowing that we kept their first stringers in. And they kept their first stringers in. We kept them at bay with our patchwork defense at best. And I felt very confident about that. And we almost even could have won the game at the end. And I really like, and here's another thing I really like. I like the fact that with 30-something seconds left at halftime, we didn't kneel the ball and go in halftime. We had, I think, two timeouts at the time. And they actually were trying to go down the field and get at least a field goal out of it, which I thought was great. I was actually very excited to see that and the game plan going forward instead of just kneeling and taking in, which could have easily been done 99% of the time. He actually showed he wanted to score the point. So obviously the game plan there was to win the game, just not with the starters on the field, which overall I'm pleased as a whole. You know, again, we're, you know, Harbaugh can reflect my words here and the whole team, but yes, you know, the loss really does suck and it does hurt. You don't want to lose the game, but I think the overall goal here is they were going for the playoff mentality, resting their starters, trying to win the game with their second and third string, and I think they played phenomenally. If it wasn't for a tipped ball interception, I think we could easily win the game if not win overtime.
It absolutely could. You know, Tyrod Taylor being our second string quarterback, he did still look good as he was playing. He even got a touchdown himself. The Ravens did play well. He did make a few mistakes and threw an interception that got returned for a touchdown. But it was a strong showing. I'm not scared going into the postseason with these Ravens going up against a few teams just because they lost this game. I still think they're going to be a very strong contender. And I think they're going to have a lot of people talking pretty soon.
A lot of people are going to be talking about us, and I know the media won't be because really, the ones we're looking at is obviously the playoffs worked out to where the best two quarterbacks in the AFC got the byes. So they're going to be talking about it. Everybody's been talking about a possible Brady Manning matchup in the AFC title game. Well, let's ruin their plans. I like to see us, you know, march on and win game by game and take it game by game, and let's wreck that plans and knock off one of the top two seeds. And speaking of seeding, it was kind of a wacky day because we knew that we weren't going to move in the four spot, barring, and we knew New England really wasn't probably going to lose because they had something to play for, because these Colts who didn't sit their starters, they actually played the whole game and actually beat the Texans. The Texans lost, so they lost grip on the one seed, so that dramatically changed the face of AFC playoffs. So that meant because we played at 1 o'clock and Denver and New England didn't play till 4, and also the Texans played at 1 o'clock. By 4 o'clock, you knew that the top two seeds were up for grabs now. So New England and Denver, all Denver had to do was win, and they claimed the top seed, and they're on fire with 11 straight wins, and they did that. And then Tom Brady and the Patriots, all they had to do was win, and they locked up the second seed. So really, Houston dropped from a 1 to a 3, and they play this weekend on Wild Card Weekend. And then Patriots and the Colts, not the Colts, I'm thinking about Manning, Patriots and the Broncos win, and they claim the top two seeds. So really, in all essence, the top three got shooken up, 4, 5, and 6, they respectively, and we have another rematch with the Colts. We have another rematch with the Colts, like again, we had 2006, Now we have the Houston Texans hosting the Cincinnati Bengals like they did last year. So it's going to be a very, very interesting matchup, these two teams this weekend. So I really can't wait to get it started.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we can start talking about this Baltimore-Indy matchup. But do you have any game balls to give out for this Cincinnati game that was this past Sunday?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then, obviously, during the offseason, we'll give our so-called rabies out, as you said in the previous shows, that we'll actually give out our whole season awards. But we'll get to that. But the game balls, I really have to give it. I'm actually going to give a game ball to Harbaugh. You know, his coaching staff did a great job planning for this team. Really, barring, like you said, the Levante Leach scare, I don't think it could gone any better. Wien would have been nice, put us 11 wins, but I'll take it. You know, we're, again, 5 straight years in the playoffs. So game ball goes to Harbaugh and his staff for really game planning around that and giving the players the rest they deserve. I'm actually going to give a game ball to Tyrod Taylor. He looked good out there. Got control of the offense. Like I said, the interception, you know, wasn't like he made a bad read and he threw it right to him. It was a tip ball, athletic play. Got to give where credit is due. So I really put the blame on his shoulders there. And he had a heck of a run on that touchdown run, you know, getting out of the sacks. And he showed shades of what Michael Vick used to do early in his career, where he could have taken a 10-yard loss for second. Next thing you know, he's running for a first down. It was a treat to see. Gave us something, a new look, a new different look under center. And I just, overall, I give a game ball around. So I would definitely give it to Tyrod. And I handed another game ball out to the whole defensive side of football for keeping the Bengals starters in check all the way to halftime.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think Tyrod Taylor deserves a game ball. You know, he was running all over the place. He got himself a touchdown. As a backup quarterback, you know, you really can't ask for much more. Every quarterback out there throws interceptions, and this guy doesn't get to see a lot of play. So I think for what it's worth, I think he did a great job, and the coaching staff as well. I think they played it the correct way. I think with the Vonte Leach scare, they had him go back, and they realized it wasn't really a terrible injury, but they decided to keep him out anyway. So I think that was the best move by those guys. So totally agree with you there. Last game of the regular season. Sorry to see the regular season go, but hey, here we go. We got the postseason, the playoffs, the Ravens again for a fifth year, consecutive year. Here we go again into the postseason, and we've got Indy, the guys, you know, that used to be the Baltimore Colts, coming to town, coming back to town. Hopefully they won't be using Mayflower trucks to get out of here again.
Right.
But hey, here we go. We got a brand new rookie, Andrew Luck. What do you see from this team coming in?
I see a team that's putting off pure emotion. I've seen it on Sunday, the post-game, not the press conference, but the locker room celebration with the Colts. Chuck Pagano was back on the sidelines, and I see this team pulling together through adversity just like we have done this year. Every team has their own adversities, and obviously we can go back, but the tragedies of Torrey Smith's younger brother, and obviously we're losing, you know, not only his younger brother, but then we go look at other tragedies like the Cowboys endured, and their season ended in Washington, and they just missed the playoffs. So right now the Colts are running off pure emotion, not to say that what they've done in both 11 wins in the season isn't great. It's a heck of a costume of being two and 14, almost basically from the first pick of the draft. Now they're a playoff team, so they've had a dramatic turnaround, and Bruce Arians has done a great job taking over for Pagano's place. But yeah, basically, talking with some fans this week, this team's running off of pure emotion. My dad even spoke about that, and that you know, they're not going to get far if they're running off, because that they can come crashing down hard on that. And I can agree with that statement. If you look at the team, they rally around that, and we're going to see. You know, like I said, along, I like this matchup. I like having a rookie quarterback coming in, and believe it or not, we have all three rookie quarterbacks in Maryland this week, as obviously the Redskins got in and they're playing Seattle. So we got Russell Wilson against RG3, and I don't know if you feel about that, but then we have Andrew Luck in town the same day, because the Redskins play after our game. So Sunday's going to be filled over rookie quarterbacks here in Maryland, so it's going to be all eyes on the state. All eyes on us, and right now the Colts present that kind of dangerous team, as you don't know. You don't know if they're going to come in here with that kind of emotion, and with Chuck Pagano being our old defensive coordinator, it sets up for a really big storyline, and again, if they play off that emotion, they're going to give us a big fight, and they're going to give us a big fight regardless. And Andrew Luck's done some great things this year. Probably going to get Rook of the Year, and it's going to be one heck of a game. It's going to be a war.
Absolutely. You know, Chuck Pagano, he was such a huge force to Baltimore, and he was a huge part of the Ravens franchise. And with him at the, being with the Colts and everything that he's been through and battled through, and to come back as well, I mean, it's such an amazing story. It's kind of hard to not like Indy for that, because in Indy and Baltimore, you know, they've always kind of had this rivalry over the, how the team left and keeping the Colts name and not changing that up. So it's always been a sore spot, but it's going to be a little bit harder rooting against them due to the closeness we have with Chuck Pagano and what he's been through, because it's really an emotional story, and it's a great story of what he's been through and what he's been able to accomplish in this short time. So that's going to be very interesting to see. Of course, I'll always be rooting for the Ravens, and it's going to be interesting because I think they're going to show Indy on the scoreboards and not going to say Colts. I think it's going to say Ravens Indy, and I'm sure we'll see that on TV when it's airing this Sunday. Andrew Luck, though, he's a rookie quarterback. We faced, you know, RG3 with the Redskins. Didn't turn out the way that we wanted to, so I don't see Andrew Luck as a big of a runner as RG3. He's more of a passer. And that could really hurt us coming, you know, with the secondary, because Kerry Williams, he's been up and down, up and down. He's gotten a few interceptions, but, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that pick on Kerry Williams, and hopefully the secondary can hold up against this rookie.
You're right. The secondary holding their offense is going to be key. And speaking about that, I actually watched the highlights of the Texans game and noticed a couple key things. And I'm going to bring this to the table here, and it's about big plays. You know, the Ravens have been successful about that. Two big plays in the previous history, in regular season and postseason alike. And on Sunday, the Colts showed that. They had a kickoff return for a touchdown, and then they actually were faced not with their own hated of their whole race up the middle play, but they were third and 23 or 26 or something like that. And Andrew Luck found T.Y. Hilton for a 60-yard-plus touchdown pass. So the Texans gave up a big play, and the Ravens are liable to give up a big play, as they've shown in previous histories this season and past seasons. So you have to wonder, without that, the Texans could have probably been victorious. And not to say the Colts have lived and died this season by the big plays, but again, keep it in perspective. They don't have the weapons. I mean, their best weapon's probably Reggie Wayne on their offensive side of the football. Obviously, they have some good defensive players over there. Dwayne Freeney still wrecking havoc on the line. So you have to look at that. Big plays are going to be the Achilles heel for the Ravens this Sunday, and I'm really hoping they can put a lid on that. You got every back there again. Andrew Luck's got to look for number 20. He hasn't faced a defense like this, and we should have all hands back on deck. Again, I actually was just reading this week that for the first time this season, 55 and 52 could be on the same field at the same time this year, which would be great. So as you know, they haven't been on the field because we lost Ray Lewis in all October, and then Suggs came back later that month. So, and we haven't had both the general and lieutenant, I call him, on the sidelines. So it's just going to be a very, very good scenario for the Ravens to have all their defensive players back. You know, obviously we don't have Ladarius Webb. He's gone for the year. So if everybody can step up and put a lid when the Colts' game plan, their ability to make the big plays. I think he can win this game because the running backs do not scare me at all. I think we can put a lid on the running game, and we're going to have to make the rookie make plays. And I think we might see number 20 returning it for a touchdown. So it could happen. It could be very well happen.
You know, there's a lot of keys that I want to have against this game. I think two of the biggest people that I'm hoping have a big game this Sunday. I'm hoping Paul Kruger has a great game. I hope he gets after Andrew Luck and makes him move out of that pocket. And I'm hoping Courtney Upshaw also has a big game. He's a guy that there were a lot of hopes, especially when Terrell Suggs got hurt, that he was going to come in and that he was going to be the next Terrell Suggs. And we didn't hear a lot from Courtney Upshaw this year. It's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing either, because, you know, he hasn't caused that many penalties and he's doing his job. But I'm hoping with, like you said, with Terrell Suggs, with Ray Lewis, with Ed Reed all on the field, I'm hoping these two guys, especially on the defense, make a lot of noise this game, because I think they're going to be key in keeping this quarterback keeping him mobile where he doesn't have time to throw, to his receivers and have it all kind of lay on the secondary. So I'm hoping these guys have a big game. I have a feeling Joe Flacco is going to have a good game as well. You know, he's a guy who works really well with the shotgun, and I think with the new offensive coordinator, he's going to be able to run that a little bit more. And Ray Rice, especially now, Vontae Leach is okay, and he'll be playing. Those two working together is going to be key on the offense.
Right. If everybody plays their part, role, offense, defense, special teams, it's going to be a good game plan executed. And it's all that execution. The right plays might be called, but if the players don't make the plays, if the line doesn't block, Flacco's not going to be able to make those plays if they can't make the holes for Ray Rice. Again, this team's got to execute in order for it to work. The play calls might be intricate or they might be simple. We have to keep it Raven football. Take care of the football, no turnovers, Joe Flacco, no fumbles. Ray Rice has to run. We have to pass protect, and the defense has to not give up the big plays and put pressure on Andrew Luck. And I'm telling you what, if I'm Dean Pease saying, look, we got a rookie quarterback coming in, he thinks it's going to be all big and bad, the world's going to be on him, number one pick, let's pin our ears back to protect this house and show him that we mean business. And I hope they send the dogs after him and have like a 5 or 6 sack performance and really show him that we mean business and you've never seen a defense like ours. And hopefully, again, speaking of the Colts running off from pure emotion, on the defensive side, I hope we get our emotional boost back. If the number 52 is actually out there with a helmet on and wrecking havoc, boy, I could just feel the electric through my body right now just thinking about it, that I'm going to be there watching that. And I just can't wait to see that for not only the fans going to be at the game, but the fans all across Ravens Nation listening and rooting hard. And I really can't wait to see if that actually happens. And obviously Harbaugh is not going to tip the game plan there. We won't know if anybody's playing until about 2 hours or so before game time on Sunday morning. So we're going to have to keep it in perspective here. He's not going to tip his hand on the game. So we're going to have to sit and wait. But again, you know, if we have all of our players play, we can execute the game plan. I think this could be a very easy win, but I'm not really going to say it's going to be a blowout because, again, we don't know what team we're going to get by the Colts.
Absolutely. And you know what? You brought up that Harbaugh is kind of being very tight-lipped about who's playing, who's not playing, what his game plan is. And he should be. You know, he absolutely should be. You don't want to let these guys know on how to prepare for a team, especially when you have such a big tool like Ray Lewis. I mean, there's a chance he doesn't play. There's a chance that he does. Why would you tell people early on, prepare for this guy? Because the team very well might be going, oh, he's coming back from injury. You know, we don't have to really worry about him. He's old. He's rusty. But, you know, Ray Lewis, you can't underestimate that guy. Here's a guy who they said not only the season was over for him, but his career was over. And a lot of people are still saying that he's coming out for this one more game at home in the playoffs, and then that's going to be it for him. I don't believe that. But I am hoping to see him on Sunday. And what better way for him to come back than in the postseason at home in Baltimore, getting the whole crowd behind him. I mean, this is a guy that hopefully, just like, you know, the Colts have their inspiration, like you said, I hope the Ravens have him to inspire them on the field. And he watches tape. It's not like he's been sitting at home. He's been rehabbing as much as possible. And I know he's watching tape. You know he's watching these games and looking at Andrew Luck. I mean, you remember a couple years ago, he was able to read a play perfectly and completely change the game just a few years ago. It's what he does. So I hope that we have Ray Lewis back on that field. And I hope that he's watched Andrew Luck, and he knows what his plays are going to look like and what he's planning to do, because that's what Ray Lewis does the best. But what's your prediction for this game?
Prediction for the game? I'm going to say, I haven't thought of a score. Obviously, I'm going to pick a Ravens win here, but it's the score is going to be, I'm going to actually predict it about a 7 to 10 point range kind of deal. I'm going to give it a 27-20 feel. I'm going to give a Ravens 27-20 victory.
Very nice, very nice. I think Ravens are going to win. I think it's going to be a shootout between these two quarterbacks. That's what it was against RG3. I think it's going to be the same way. I think it's going to be back and forth, but I think with an interception or two, I think that's really what's going to change the game. I think it's going to be an interception throw that kind of right before halftime, and that's going to kind of energize the Ravens and give them that lead that they need. So I kind of agree with those numbers too. I think 27-20 is a good thought, and I'm going to side with you on that, and that's what I think is going to happen. So postseason, Playoffs, you know, North Division champions coming into the playoffs at home. You're going to be there, man. It's going to be such a fun time in the city this week and on Sunday. And look at this, man. It's already Tuesday, and we're already closer to the weekend for this game on Sunday. So I'm excited. I know you got to be.
Excited don't even begin to tip the cap on the iceberg that I really can't gush enough about the opportunity to be there again. Fans, this is I'm going to be talking about this a lot because this is my first ever taste of postseason football in person. Obviously, I've watched it in years past on the television, and I just the guys are going with and the season tickets we have, and they're like, there's nothing like it. They were at the game last year against Houston. A lot of fans were talking to me about how 2000 was when they played the Broncos and how that first playoff game and whom was. It's an energy unlike any other. You think, because fans were like, you think it was loud when Peyton was here? You think it was loud when Eli was here? It was one of the loudest games I've been to was last year, the Thanksgiving night game against San Fran. And I said, I even thought that was loud in a playoff atmosphere. They goes, you've seen nothing like playoff football in Baltimore. The fans are going to be electric. Harbaugh's in the card for 70,000 strong. The truth to be behind this team, showing why we're the hardest state in the play, opponent-wise in the NFL. And I really can't wait to be there. And again, I've talked about this on numerous occasions during our shows. I've had the opportunity to enjoy postseason taste on the Orioles side of things. Now I got a ticket in hand, and we're going to the Ravens side of things. And just the festivities this week about how the game's been built up and ramped up, people painting town purple, stenciling City Hall, and it's just a big event around here in Baltimore, and Purple Friday is going to be full force. I really can't wait to get it started and culmination, be down to tailgating early, and this game, not to say that you're right, you know, speaking back to how you led in with the Mayflower trucks and how this team, I've been talking to a lot of people about the history about how the Colts left and the Ravens came, and some people have embraced the team as their own, and it's just hard to see those horseshoes coming back into Baltimore. It didn't have the same feel as 2006 when we had the first-round bye and Peyton rolled into town, but it's still the Colts. It still hurts, and we don't want to see them beat us again. We want to exorcise those demons and ghosts out there, and the injury luck errors began, and we want to put number 12 in perspective and show them that, you know, we mean business in the AFC. He's got to come through Baltimore this weekend. It's going to be tough out of the confines of that little old dome up there. You're going to come to Baltimore, and we're ready to play.
Absolutely, we're ready to play. I can't wait. You know, it's going to be such a fun game. Did we cover everything on this show, though? Is there anything else we missed?
Yeah, man. I wanted to, talk the other side of things and give fans a taste of the other what's going on the other side of football. Around the playoff pictures, obviously there's a lot of great things that happened this weekend. As we didn't know, all eyes when I got home from the Ravens game, and all eyes were on the Green Bay Minnesota games. Obviously, Adrian Peterson was actually going for Eric Dickerson's record, and obviously, if no one's really seen this, but a Ravens record got eclipsed. Adrian Peterson actually eclipsed Jamal Lewis. Well, we remember back in 2003 when Jamal Lewis was going for the record against Pittsburgh. And he ended up with 2,066 yards. That's the second most all-time. Or it was. Adrian Peterson actually eclipsed Jamal Lewis, our very own Jamal Lewis, who got inducted to the Ring of Honor this year. Now Jamal drops third all-time rushing performance in a single season. And Adrian Peterson was nine yards short. I was just, me and my dad were watching that. I was like, he's going to get the record. And they were, I think they were about 38 or 41 yards away from the end zone, and it was a tie game at this point. And if anybody watched the game, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal way to end the season for those two teams. And obviously, they play again next week. We'll get to that. But Adrian Peterson took off and made a cut. I'm telling you what, Brandon, I don't know if you saw it, but I'm like, if he scores, he's got the record. He was tackled right on the 10, and he actually finished 9 yards short of Eric Dickerson's record. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, it's what a performance. Him coming this time last year, he had major reconstructive knee surgery, and him to come and put over 2,000 yards sniffing Eric Dickerson's within nine yards, it's just amazing. And the MVP debate's going to be on. Is it going to be Peyton Manning or is it going to be Adrian Peterson? I'm going to put my opinion on that. And I'm going to actually pick Adrian Peterson. Here's why. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. They both came off of major injuries in their careers, both players. obviously the players are phenomenal. Both players are probably the top in their position, respectively, right now. And, yes, the Colts have had 11 straight wins. They started 2-3, you know, and they came to Baltimore and they beat us. And they got the number one seed in the AFC to prove it. They're on fire right now. Who wants to play them? I don't even want to play them. If all goes to according to plan, if we win, we're going to probably have to play them in the next round, but we'll get to that later on. Adrian Peterson, okay, had basically put this team on his shoulders. They beat Green Bay to win and get in. They locked up the sixth and final seed in the NFC playoffs. And it's just that's much more realistic. I mean, obviously, the Broncos were a playoff team last year at Tim Tebow. They won a playoff game with Tim Tebow. They bring Peyton Manning, so you almost expect as soon as they sign Peyton, oh, they're automatically going to win that division and go to the playoffs. Number one seed, probably. We didn't expect that. But with, you know, us, New England, and Houston, it was to be determined, and obviously it took till the last day of the season to decide that. But Peyton Manning's going to be Peyton Manning. You almost expected him in this, but with the Vikings and the tools they have Percy Harvin going down with a knee injury, or I think it was an ankle injury, and just the way that team responded in the hard division with Chicago and Detroit and the weapons all those teams have, and especially Green Bay, I'm going to have to give it to Adrian Peterson. It was a heck of a performance all year, and you can make an argument for co-MVPs, but Monaco goes to Adrian Peterson, I have no doubt.
It's been a great season overall for everybody in the NFL. There's been so much accomplished by the NFL on the field and off the field. I mean, you were just going over some of the stuff going on the field that these guys were able to accomplish. But look at, you know, what the Kansas City Chiefs had to go through. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. Look at Torrey Smith. And it's really amazing, just these NFL players, because everybody involved in this league is just so resilient. In what they do, you can tell that this game is kind of like therapy for these guys, and they're able to work through a lot of the personal issues that they have on the field. And just as a league as a whole, you've got these great athletes doing amazing things on the field as well as being off the field, and being able to handle situations in a way that I know a lot of people just watching, you know, wouldn't be able to do.
The way teams respond and players and individuals respond through adversity ultimately gets them the ultimate goal into the postseason. Some players play through that. Some players don't. Some teams can't handle it. It's just how you handle yourself. I remember, speaking of adversity and playing through it, one of the all-time greatest performances was when Brett Favre lost his father and he played on Monday Night Football and had probably the best career game he's probably ever had in his Hall of Fame career. And I, you know, we can debate and go on for here because people are going to probably give me flack for it, but I can't miss Brett Favre playing. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks and favorite players among, you know, obviously outside of the Ravens organization to watch, and especially Ray Lewis himself. But I just miss, you just don't want to take those times for granted. Like, now, you know, I wish he'd stop playing the retirement game, but here it is. You know, you reflect back and look on these guys' careers, and you just, diversity they played through. You're going to play through highs and lows, and the Ravens have done it this year. They've done it previous there. I remember in 2000, Ray Lewis told Jamal, actually it wasn't Jamal, it was Jermaine Lewis, I'm sorry about that, was, if we recall, the last game of the season, they beat the Jets. And Ray Lewis was talking to Jermaine Lewis at the time, and we all remember Jermaine dearly. He lost his son was stillborn, and he actually played the game, and he actually returned two kicks for touchdowns to win the game. And Ray Lewis even said that, it's quoted on the America's Game, that he told him, you'll get another one, and he returned it again. And that's emotional, and we all know it happened in the Super Bowl. And almost trying to get choked up about this because it was powerful, where, you know, he returned that kickoff in the Super Bowl and pointed to the sky to his son. And that's the stuff we live for as fans and athletes and everybody watching and listening. And this is what we do. And, you know, whether it's recording shows, whether it's going out to the workforce, or whether it's playing an NFL game, we all go through adversity. And ultimately, speaking about that leads me to, I'm kind of glad we kind of rolled into this, because anybody seen Ravens.com this week? Brandon, have you seen the story about the email that was sent to the Ravens?
I saw a little bit about that. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Fans and Brandon, it was just emotional. Apparently, this guy's have had some major surgeries in his lifetime. And go on Ravens.com and read it. It's very powerful. It was posted, I think, on December 28th or around that time frame. I just remember the day I was reading it. And he sent an email to the team. It was forwarded around among the media members in the Ravens organization, and it found a way to Harbaugh. And he spoke to the team through the email, and he said something about adversity, saying that, you know, you think this is easy, you know, basically not taking it for granted, and you're going out there and playing for wins and losses. But he said a quote in there that I resounded on Twitter, Facebook alike, and he said that the only disability in life is a bad attitude. And Harbaugh actually touched on this season and last season's prior, that it's the attitude of the team. It's the nucleus that holds the team together. And like he said, we played even on our show, AFC North champions, they play for each other. They're servant and they're leaders. They play for the man beside them. It's next man up. And I was just actually watching a press conference this week, Harbaugh's presser this week, and actually said that the depth of this team shows how good this team is, because we've had all these stars, all these players hurt, but yet here we are, AFC North champions. And you look at it, the Steelers even had their guy hurt, and they didn't quite make it. They were 8-8, we're 10-6, we made it. So it just shows you that next man up, it works. Everybody believes in it, believes in the system, believes in it, and buys into it. The sky's the limit, and if we can start by beating the Colts on Sunday, we're going to come through adversity and go to the divisional round. And I really can't wait. Through all we've been through, and the very scrutinizing of Flacco, oh, he sucks, he had a bad game, oh, he's great, he threw three touchdowns. Not all that's out the window, because he's playing a playoff game at Sunday at 1 o'clock, and here's the thing. Again, we're not comparing him to the elite, but there's some elite quarterbacks that aren't going to be playing this year. Where's Drew Brees? You know, he's on the sidelines, he's watching it from home. Where's Ben Roethlisberger? Where's Eli Manning? Some of these guys hold rings. There's 5 rings combined between the 3 of them, but they're all sitting at home watching the playoffs. So just to show you, you cannot take it for granted. You got to play these games. You got to get there. And we're among the 12 teams left in the whole NFL organization. We're 12 out of 32 left. We win. We're 8 out of 32. And I'm gonna hold dearly to that, because that's 5 straight times in the playoffs. You know, you might call us spoiled, but I'm going to cherish those moments. Reflecting back on the seasons we've had, and I'm very, very proud to be a part of the Baltimore Ravens fan base. I always say, well, we're part of the organization, because we do the shows, we do the podcast, we pay the money to go to the games, buy the season tickets, and we buy their merchandise, and we're part as much of the team as anybody. And Harbaugh always says this is for you, it's for the fans, and we're the 12th man out there. And I can't gush enough about the opportunity to be playing another playoff game, especially in Baltimore, and I really can't wait to win it.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. You know, this is such a great team. And before we go too far off the topic, the fan that wrote that email to the Ravens and everything, the Ravens organization is so good to their fans. You know, I don't like to talk about this a lot, but you know, my grandmother was very sick a few years ago, and she was in the hospital for about a year, and I would go see her every single day. And I wrote to the Ravens and I said, my grandmother's, you know, born and raised a Baltimorean, and she loves the Ravens, and you know, she's going through all these really tough times, but she loves to watch the Ravens on Sundays as she's in the hospital. Is there any way you can have like a player come see her, wish her good luck, anything like that? And of course they said, well, the Ravens are very busy this time of year, and they're playing football, so they can't make every single personal appearance, which I completely understand. But they did say, let me send her a care package. And they sent us this envelope with a personalized letter. They sent a team photo. They sent all this Ravens gear from 2 or 3 seasons ago. And it really brightened up her day. And, you know, the Ravens, they love the fans just as much as the fans love the Ravens. And you can tell anytime you're a visiting team and you're in Baltimore, you can tell that love relationship in between the fans and the team, and vice versa. So absolutely great organization the Ravens are having. We're very lucky to have them in Baltimore, and we're lucky to be in the postseason. You know, everyone's brought up this week, hey, you know, we've lost the last, you know, 4 out of 5 games, and that should be a big deal. But, you know, we're the only team in the NFL to make the playoffs the last 5 consecutive years. Only team. And that's pretty amazing, too. Let's focus on the positive and not worry about those negatives, like those losses, because we're in the playoffs. You can't argue with that. Everybody right now is 0-0. Every single team going into this postseason. So that's something to really think about. It's anybody's game now.
It's anybody's game. Any one of these 12 teams, one of the fan bases, one of the organizations are going to hold a Super Bowl parade, and they're going to be hoisting a trophy. Which team is it? We really hope it's Baltimore Ravens. We really hope the city's going to be having their own parade come February, and that's the goal. The ultimate goal is to win Sunday. The ultimate goal is to beat the Colts and advance. And I really can't get it started. And before we end the show, folks, I want to touch on this too, because this was almost, I wouldn't say unprecedented, probably an overstatement, but it was really, really kind of a strange situation in the NFL. Seven head coaches got fired on Monday, which was called a Black Monday in the NFL. And Brandon, I want to get your opinion. Also, after that, I'm going to put mine out there. When, first off, which coaches did you expect? Which coaches didn't you expect? And what do you think is going to be the job that somebody will want and the job that somebody won't want?
Well, you know, I think the writing was kind of on the wall in Philadelphia. I think we all knew Andy Reid was going to be let go. That's why the second the game was over, the Eagles put that out there. I was a little
surprised. The other birds.
Yeah, exactly. Right up the street. So everybody knew that was coming. Thought it was very interesting that Brendan Iamadejo, he went on Twitter and said if Andy Reid ever wanted to take like a demotion and become a coach of something else, that he'd be welcomed in the Ravens organization. So that'd be kind of interesting. But I think he's probably, you know, has his heart set on another head coaching job somewhere else. I was a little surprised that the Chargers made some moves. And I'm surprised. The biggest thing that shocked me is the fact that Rex Ryan is still a head coach. I know the Jets fired their GM, but still, to have Rex Ryan as the head coach really, really shocked me.
Couple things there I'm going to touch to. Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that Rex Ryan's still there. And one thing I will disagree, and I'm going to insert another one there. Obviously, we already expected Andy Reid to go. You know, he's been the coach here 14 seasons. But I'm going to disagree with you on the North Turner. I expected that. It was almost like the same way we expected Cam Cameron to go when he finally, it was 2 years later, because we all wanted it 2010, 2011, it finally came here this season. I'm actually going to throw Lovie Smith out there. I was actually shocked to see Lovie Smith let go from the Chicago Bears. And the body work they did, I don't know if it was due to the Celtic epic collapse they've had, because they were 7-1 at one point this season. Now, look, they didn't even make the playoffs. So it just shows you the Ravens had their own skid, but they posted their 9 wins early, which, hey, they got that 10th win and got them in the postseason. So we can't complain, because we've had our bad games this season, but we come out on top. And when you look at the Kansas City game, for instance. But in regards to that, I'm very shocked to see the Bears let Lovie Smith go. It's very interesting to see who's going to take over all these franchises. Obviously, the Eagles are storied, and the Bears have rich history, and the Eagles' job. It's just going to be very interesting to see the 7 new head coaches in the NFL next year, and if Andy Reid ends up on one, Lovie Smith ends up on another, and they're going to be shuffled around, or they're going to be a total overhaul. I really can't wait to see, and it'd be great if we can get one of these guys on our coaching staff. Who knows? You know, hopefully we're Super Bowl champions, and they're looking at our organization, hey, we're first class, let's join a winning team, and now let's build another dynasty, another championship next year. So we're going to get to see. So it overall was a very interesting week in the NFL. All the playoff seedings are locked and set. Wild card weekend upon us, and to touch on that, the NFL schedule looks like this. We actually have the I'm going to talk about implications before we let everybody go, is the Bengals and Texans play at 4:30 on Saturday. If the Texans win, that'll make it very simple for us, because if the Texans end up winning on Saturday, we win on Sunday, we're going right back to Denver. And we're going to play Mr. Peyton Manning and his number one seed of Colts. I always say Manning and the Colts. I told you, Manning and the Colts. Manning Colts. But Manning and the Broncos.
He's stuck with the horse theme, at least.
That's pretty good. That's very clever. He did stick with the horse themes. I didn't even really think about that this year. It's pretty good, man. So that'll have implications. Obviously, we have the rematch. It was this past week. Green Bay and Minnesota play each other. But that'll be in Lambeau. And then, obviously, we play on Sunday 1 o'clock. Then right after our game, we have the Seahawks and the Redskins, which the Redskins and the Cowboys game, I don't know if you saw it, Brandon, but what a way to end the 2012 season in the NFL. It was a great game. Cowboys pulled within 3. They were down 11. They got that touchdown 2-point and just shows you, you know, again, you know, don't take Joe Flacco for granted, because look how bad Tony Romo has played down the stretch. You know, he's good at sometimes, but then what he does, he throws 3 picks, and he's horrible. And the scrutiny on Tony Romo in Dallas was he just doesn't play well and up in the big stage like Flacco does, but Flacco has playoff wins to prove it, and Tony Romo doesn't get it done. So, and the division was up for grabs, and when it was at stake for us, we beat the Giants, and we got in the postseason at home, and we ended our three-game skid, and just the Cowboys, just they've been 3 years out of the playoffs. It goes to show you, America's team, they can buy all the championships, and they're the most coveted franchise in the NFL, and they're the most expensive, worth worth billions of dollars. But it goes to show you, if you don't execute, you're not going to make it, and it just was a great way to end the season as a whole, and I'm very it's just bittersweet because I hate it. It's over, but here we are. We're postseason upon us, fans, and Sunday at 1 o'clock, it's going to be war.
I'm ready for it. I think everybody else is ready for it. I think the Ravens are ready for it. You know, postseason in Baltimore, I'm liking the fact that we get to have at least one home game the last 2 years, so very excited for that. So after everything, is everything covered at this point?
Everything is covered, and if not, I think number 20 is going to get us a pick, so he's got it covered on the back end.
That's what I like to hear. So, of course, if you want to follow along during the game with me or Josh, you can follow me on Twitter, at Brando Cash. And, Josh, where can people follow you? You're always tweeting some cool stuff, even like concert pictures, like last night on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. If I'm not tweeting, please call me or text me because something might be wrong. Or I'm just working, like, 20 hours straight. So, but, fans, you can find me at ItalianGQ52.
Awesome. And make sure you go over to Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That way you get all the information about this show and all the other shows on the at Brando Cash Network. Make sure you go over to iTunes if you're not listening on iTunes. And click subscribe. Search The Call Podcast. Click subscribe. Write an iTunes review. Kind of helps us climb the ladder in the iTunes world. And then tell people that you like The Call. Go on to Facebook. Go on to Twitter. Go on to Instagram, Tumblr, Pinterest. I don't know what else is out there. Tout it, you know. Let people know that you're listening to The Call and that you dig The Call. And that kind of helps us grow even more as we keep going throughout this season, because we love doing the show and we love that we're entertaining you guys talking football. So here we go, postseason. Josh, I'll see you later. Hopefully we send Indy back to Indianapolis in those Mayflower trucks.
We'll send them back, fans and Ravens Nation alike. We're going to put a fun spin on this one. We get to celebrate postseason again. And, Brandon, I will let you in on a little secret. I found something on YouTube this week. I'm going to send it on the outro, fans. This is pretty funny. But, you know, everybody knows the open Gannon style, right?
Of course.
We're going to do open Raven style. Call, 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 call. So enjoy it, fans. And we're going to have some fun this week. And we're going to hopefully let's sound the war cry. Let's Baltimore Ravens fly high.
Open Raven style. Open Raven style.
This has been a production of the at Brando Cash Network.